Well, Election Day is less than a month away. It's hard to believe. Ballots will be mailed out to voters beginning on Friday. And in the age of coronavirus, mail ballot elections have been really making headlines throughout our nation. Today, we have probably the two women who know most about local elections, guaranteed. Gunnison County Clerk and Recorder Kathy Simillion and Election Director Diane Folliwell. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. So with a mail ballot election, we're going to start off with the hot topic. Why don't we get results election night anymore? Who wants to take that question?
Chris, I'll go ahead and start, and Diane can jump in here anytime. So there are several reasons for that. And probably the one of the things that's going to happen this year across the state is you probably won't see completed election results on election night just across the whole state simply because of the number of voters that are expected to turn out for this election. The other part of that is the processes of which mail ballots are processed. This means signature verification and a number of other processes to make sure that that person is indeed who voted that ballot. The other part is that people tend to wait till election night or afternoon, late in the afternoon, or even election day to just bombard with their ballots. So for those three reasons, it just is going to probably go into the next day. And this is expected statewide.
And that's been going on for several years. I know that you ladies have answered that question on and on and on. And I think people are starting to figure that out. Diane, do you have anything to add?
I don't. Well, I do, I guess, in that the one thing is the processes are all involving the privacy for the voter. Those are the mail ballot processes, and we must go through those processes, whether we receive the ballot 2 weeks prior or we receive it that day. And so the earlier, the sooner that a voter can vote their ballot and then turn that in, drop it off at one of the five drop boxes we have in the county, the sooner they're going to have results. We really don't have an election day anymore. We have an election week. And we really are encouraging people to vote those ballots once they receive them and drop them off or get them in the mail. We're probably suggesting they don't mail those just because of some true and untrue things that have been floating around about the post office. We have recently located two new drop boxes in Gunnison County, one being in Crested Butte South, directly in front of their mail little house there as you turn in on at 61 Teocalli, and also at the university. And so we'll open all of those up on the 12th, and we'd encourage people to use those. They'll be emptied daily, many times on election day, actually. And the sooner we can get that ballot in, the sooner that can be worked. So
when do you start counting ballots?
Well, by state law, everything is laid out by statute, and it's the 15th of October. So we'll start that morning, and we'll balance every night. And we just, once again, are encouraging people to turn those ballots in soon.
Great. Well, you mentioned, you know, the privacy of the vote, Diane, and of course, security is a big issue with a mail ballot. There's been a lot of talk about states who are having to do mail ballots in light of coronavirus. And of course, this may be their first election. Why are we better off in Colorado?
Well, first of all, we've been doing this since 2013. And so as in anything in life, the more times you can practice that and fix things that are not correct, and we've been doing that. The legislature decided in 2013 that we were going to start that, actually in 2012. And we started mail ballots. We've had about probably 10, 12 elections that I feel have perfected that. The state of Colorado, as you know, leads the nation in that. I personally would not want to be conducting a mail ballot election the first time on a presidential because of the number of votes cast. But I'm very confident that we have this down, and we're ready to go.
Great. Thanks. Christopher?
Just want to remind folks that they're listening to KBUT Community Matters, and you can call in and ask your questions of local election officials as the debate rages on nationally. What do you need to know locally? We're here to answer your questions Again, 970-349-7444. You can also email your questions to news@kbut.org. I wanted to know that why perhaps under extenuating circumstances such as we're under, where there's been an increase nationwide of mail-in ballots, why aren't we starting to count mail-in ballots now that have already been turned in? And I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, ballots haven't been mailed. So voters don't have ballots as of this date. They'll be mailed beginning out of Denver, beginning Friday, the 9th. Monday is a postal holiday, so we're hoping that those ballots will either be back here by Saturday or the following Tuesday. And once again, the state of Colorado tells us when we may begin voting or counting the ballots, and that's the 15th of October.
Sure. Okay. Well, and then so the 15th of October, that is obviously a lot earlier. That must give you a little bit of a jump start. Has it always been the 15th of October that you were able to start counting ballots? And I guess I was just a little misinformed about, you know, what ballots were available. I may have been speaking about other states.
Right.
But has it always been October 15th?
Well, not so much the 15th, but the same number of days prior to an election.
Kind of how
that calendar falls.
Sure. So in the era of, the Washington Post published an opinion article today with the headline, "Local Officials Should Prepare Against Trump-Inspired Voter Intimidation." I was wondering if you could kind of tell us what voter intimidation actually looks like. What are some of the tactics that people use that could be called voter intimidation? When does it cross a line from just being a concerned citizen who wants to ensure, you know, a lawful, accurate election to something that can be called voter intimidation? Can you tell us at all about that? I'm not sure who would be able to answer that question more.
Well, I guess I would kind of question what that voter intimidation really is and what that looks like. In Colorado, since we are a mail ballot state, I mean, obviously you get your mail ballot at your home. And so I really don't know about what that intimidation would be, since you get your ballot at home, you vote it, and you return it. I know that there is a lot of propaganda, whether it be by email, phone, text. I mean, there's a lot of text, mailing. I mean, we get a lot of calls for people that are unsure about, you know, they did vote like in the primary, and all of a sudden they've gotten like five letters in the mail saying somebody in your household's not registered. You need to fill this out. And they call us and we're like, no, you know, it's just junk mail. You're registered. Just, you know, hold on tight. You're going to get your ballot. So I think a lot of that just has people really nervous about, you know, if they still are registered. And we would encourage anybody who is concerned about that to give us a call. We're here from 8 to 5 and, you know, be glad to look up people. But the bottom line is that if you voted in the last election and haven't moved, you're going to receive a ballot. The thing that people need to know, though, is that by state statute, ballots are not forwardable. And so if you've moved, whether it be a physical address or a P.O. box, adding or changing a P.O. box, it's kind of the long way around your question here, but no. Just, you know, information that people need to know is that they need to make those changes so that they get their ballot come directly to their house.
Which is, you can do online. And I believe you can do that up until the day of the election in Colorado. Is that right? You can register to vote?
You can.
Go ahead.
However, we do have same day registration, so you can register and vote up to 7 p.m. on election day. However, we would encourage you to not register online, because after 5 days before the election, we can no longer mail a ballot.
Okay.
And so if we can avoid that, we can either issue it. We'll have our locations, our VSPCs, our voter service and polling centers up, and we can do that in person. But no, same day registration in Colorado. So.
And I just wanted to back up, and then I'll send it back to Chris for another question. But you mentioned that folks have been getting text messages that tell them that they need to register. What are those folks trying to achieve by sending that text message?
You know, I'm not real sure. There was the gal that
that I talked to today was real concerned because she got like 4 text messages from a political candidate, and she just didn't know how they got her number, where they got her number from. And she was just concerned and said, you know, what do I do with these? And, you know, I said, you know, it's just more of the same stuff that's going on, like, you know, mail, email, just, you know, on and on. They're trying to reach out to voters. And so the only thing that we can really drive home with our voters is if you get something in the mail and it's addressed from us, then we have sent it. Although there has been some letters that have gone in the mail that haven't been addressed from me, from the county clerk and recorder, Kathy Semillion, and are in fact not anything that I've mailed to any voters.
Really?
So, yeah.
What's which happening is really, there?
Well, you know, I'm like, so... how are they able to do that? You know, but we just really want people just to firsthand just check with us and see.
And again, those are people that are trying to tell folks that they need to be registered.
Yes, if there's somebody in their household that is not registered and they need to complete one of these forms and mail it back. And so, you know, some people are just mailing them all back, you know, sure. And just, it's just a, like a, you know, it's just they're registering, they're only registered once, but it just, they keep sending these forms back when it's not necessary for them to do that. But we just really want people just to check with us if they're unsure about.
So is there potential there that if they just keep registering over and over again, that they'll eventually, you know, it's like trying to use the wrong password too many times. I mean,
not at all.
So I'm trying to get to the bottom of why somebody would be doing this, but perhaps just trying to get more people
political year.
It's a big political year,
sure. And people are, yeah, these groups, there's all kinds of them out there.
Sure.
Yeah. And
all
they,
right. Sorry.
Just, yeah, they just keep doing it.
Go ahead, Chris Rourke, you had another question.
Well, sure. I want to get into some of the basics that people need to know about registering and checking the registration. But first, before we go there, what other kinds of things have you seen over the years that are befuddling like this? What have you had to deal with?
Well, we really haven't experienced voter fraud since we've started mail ballots in Gunnison County. So I'm thrilled to say that, because we do, our bipartisan judges do, a team of bipartisan judges do check those signatures. And if a signature doesn't match, say somebody has just changed the way they sign their name, then that person, a letter goes out within 24 hours to that person saying, hey, we've received this. We really need to see you to come in, or to see an ID that this is you. We'll ask you to sign something. And then they have 8 days to reply to that. And then that vote will be counted. If they don't reply to that, the vote is not counted, because that signature verification is very important. Lots of people will call in and they'll say, you know, my husband's had a stroke. His signature, he can only put an X. We'll ask them to sign as a witness. And then, of course, that's done. We don't do a signature verification on that. We really have not seen that many things that they see in the urban areas around, you know, maybe in Denver or some of the big counties around there. We, like I said, haven't had fraud here in Gunnison County. We have tried to prepare for everything this year. We have really beefed up our VSPCs. We don't know what to anticipate. We might see voter intimidation. It could, you know, voter suppression. We could see that. We're trained with that kind of thing. We're working hand in hand with law enforcement at both ends of the county. We hope that we don't see anything like that, but, you know, it pays to be prepared. And our main goal is to protect the voters of Gunnison County and to get the vote out.
Can I ask,
answer to your original question, we really haven't seen many very strange things. You know, we've had internet go down before during the day, and there's ways to deal with that. But in terms of shenanigans and things like that, we really haven't seen that.
Can I ask what you are doing to prepare for voter intimidation? You said you're working with law enforcement.
Well, you need to know that around every voter service and polling center, there's a 100-foot limit for electioneering. And so we're prepared to enforce that, as we always are. We're prepared to provide safety for those voters from the time the polls open until they close. That will involve some law enforcement if things do get out of control. We have law enforcement escorts from the north end of the valley down to the south end of the valley to our office here, just to make sure that those votes are safe, those ballots are safe, and they get here in the way that they're intended to be. Got a duck in the background here. it totally threw me off. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes here.
Sure.
The voters can just rest assured that we're going to provide them with a safe voting experience this fall.
Well, and what are law enforcement being told to look out for? What are they being told are things
that... Law enforcement really don't look out for things. We just know that there's a possibility, perhaps once the polls close on the East Coast, while we're still counting, that there might be voting groups that are not happy with if there's a winner declared. I don't know. We're preparing for many, sure, many, many things this year that we have not really even considered before. But in light of the environment and the temperature of this political world, we just want to provide the voters of Gunnison County with a safe voting experience.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess I was just trying to get at what exactly, you know, what crosses the line there? You mentioned the thing about the threshold around there's no campaigning.
There can't be any political propaganda that comes within that. So if somebody comes to the polling location, they're wearing a shirt, they're wearing a hat, they have a button, they have a bumper sticker. They won't be allowed in that area. They'll need to change things like that. And if it's relative to this ballot. So if it would be something that would say perhaps Obama in another year, we're not worried about that. But if it's relative to this ballot, that's considered electioneering. And so our judges are trained how to deal with that. And, if somebody has a shirt on, we'll ask them to turn the shirt around, or we'll ask them to take their hat off or things like that. And our voters are very, they're very respectful with that kind of thing. And everybody in this valley, my experience has been, works together for that, for the good of the vote.
Sorry, well, I'll never forget my first time I voted in Gunnison County, and I was media at the time, and I walked in and you spied me immediately, Diane, and said, wait a minute, you're media. Are you voting or let me check this through? So you were very thorough.
Thank you. Yes, I probably asked for your credit
in that regard.
I probably
Let's talk about some of your other.
We're getting our lines crossed a little bit.
I did not
bit.
Have
Go
to
ahead,
give
Chris
up my first child.
No, you did not.
Yeah, right. So let's talk about some of your other preparations. Tell us what a VSPC is, and, you know, what are you prepared to do? What kind of services do you offer? And then tell us about the locations of the ballot boxes.
Sure. So VSPC stands for Voter and Service Polling Center. Prior to 2013, they were called precincts, and you would go vote at your precinct. Now it's like a full service voting center. You can go to you could live down in Gunnison and go to the one in Cresta Butte, or you could live in Cresta Butte and go to the one at the college. And what that is like a full service voting center where you can go in and register to vote, receive a ballot. You can change your address and receive a ballot, or if you didn't receive a ballot, you can of course receive a ballot there after they process your registration. So it's just a place where you can go at any location to receive your ballot and vote, or take it home and vote it and bring it back. So we have three of them, which Diane had mentioned earlier. We have a new one that's up at the Western Colorado University, and it's going to be our first time up there this year. We also have one up in Cresta Butte at the Parish Hall, right next to the Catholic Church. And then, of course, we have the one down here in Gunnison. It normally is in our office, but because of the COVID this year, it's going to be a drive-through out in the tent, which is what we did in June, and it seemed to work very well then as well. So as Diane spoke earlier about our five boxes, we've really tried to get out there and get a lot of boxes put in. These drop boxes are nice because they're under 24-hour surveillance camera. And so we've got them secured. And the nice thing is that you can drop your ballot at any one of those. We have the one in front of the Cresta Butte Town Hall, CB South, by their mail room, the one at the college, on the south lawn of this, what do they call it? The
Student Services Center.
Yeah, Student Service Center. And then we have a drive-through and a walk-up to here in the Blackstock Government Center location. And so we really hope that people utilize those boxes and utilize those voter service and polling centers. And that's basically what they are.
Okay, so let's say I get my ballot and I accidentally vote for a wrong candidate and made a mistake. What do I do?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. I think it's the comfort level. So you could mark something out and then mark what you want. That's called voter intent, and teams of bipartisan judges, then that goes to adjudication once that's scanned, and they make that decision based on state requirements for that. The other thing that you could do, and this is what a lot of voters do, is you could go into one of the voter service and polling centers. You would turn in that ballot because each person is only issued one. So we would void that ballot and then we would issue you a new ballot. You could vote it in the parking lots or in like the church, or you could take it home with you if time exists for that, and then drop it into a box. So there's a couple things you can do there.
Okay. What if I lose my ballot?
Same thing. Lots of people misplace their ballots. And so you would just go into a voter service and polling center and say, hey, I need another ballot. And they would void out that ballot that's been misplaced and they would issue another ballot.
So these VSPCs are pretty important, you know.
They the same functions we do here. Obviously, they don't have the tabulation room that we do. But yes, you can do anything at one of the voter service and polling centers. The thing that I'd like to stress in that is that there is a mechanism in our voter registration system to where each person, there's safety measures there, can only be issued one ballot. So you go in, you have to void a ballot, physically void it in order to issue another ballot. So voters can feel good about that. They can know that safety mechanism is in place, and that one person's not going to end up with three and four ballots.
Great. And you mentioned the tent out in the parking lot of the Blackstock building. What other COVID-19 precautions are you taking?
Well, our judges all wear the white medical suits. They must wear masks. Voters must also wear masks when they come in within that 100-foot limit. They do wear gloves. We also have handy little 48-inch sticks where they will take something to somebody so that they're not close to them. We did all of this in June for the primary. And like I said, the voters must wear masks when they come. So we have all of that in place here.
Great. Well, you know, I guess, you know, we're starting to run short on time. Christopher has, another question. When we come back, let's talk about that counting process, because I don't think people realize how secure that process is.
You bet.
Sure. I just wanted to let folks know again that they're listening to KBUT Community Matters. My name's Christopher Biddle. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Rourke. Kathy Simillion is the Gunnison County Clerk and Recorder, and Diane Falwell is the Director of Elections here in Gunnison County. We're asking questions about the upcoming election in November. Chris, you still had another question that you wanted to ask.
Yeah. Diane, I don't think people realize how much work you do, you and Kathy do behind the scenes, and all the election judges, and really the process that occurs to guarantee what you talked about at the top of the hour, that privacy of the vote. Can you explain what goes on once a ballot is picked up and how it is verified as being a true ballot, and what goes into that?
You bet. So the first thing that we do is we have teams of bipartisan judges that visit, whether it be the post office or any of the 24-hour drop boxes that, once again, are under 24-hour video surveillance. And those bipartisan judges will pick up those. We have chain of custodies where seals match seals. They'll pick those up every morning on election day many times. And then they bring those ballots back to the main tabulation room here in the Blackstock building. Once they're received, we once again go through chain of custody, verifying that those seal numbers are the same. And then we bring those ballots out of ballot boxes. Everything is done with a Democrat and a Republican. We do fill in spots with unaffiliated voters when need be. But everything that's done is done with a bipartisan team of judges. Not in any circumstance is it done with one person. Those judges will receive those ballots on a chain of custody. They'll check those seals, and then they'll go for processing. So what we do in our tabulation room is we set down a team of 4 to 6 different judges. One person will remove the envelope, and this is how you keep this voter security, that nobody will know how what ballot belongs to what envelope. Then the next thing they'll do is they'll take the secrecy sleeve off and they pass it around. Then that person is going to do the next thing, with the last person will be just unfolding the ballot and laying it out. Then the next thing we'll do is we run those through our dual machine, and then which is just capturing a signature on the envelopes. That's all that machine does. It does not tabulate. Then the next thing we're going to do is signature verification. And we are going to process those, keeping those in batches of 25 or 50, with the last thing being scanning. So as you can see, when that ballot starts out with a group of judges, there isn't any way whatsoever that a person is going to know that one ballot belongs to a certain envelope. Everything is in different piles. And also those judges are under oath. And so anything that they see in this room that could be how a person votes, or numbers as we go forward before we make those numbers to the public, then that is all, they're under oath for that. You cannot trace a voter here. There isn't any way that you could trace a ballot to a voter. There just isn't any way. I'm so proud of our processes back here. And anybody that has questions, or they might be critical, my first thing is to invite them in to watch our processes, because they're transparent and they're accurate, and it provides the safety for the voter.
Great. Thank you, Diane. Christopher?
This is Community Matters here on KBUT. Still to come, we are going to be speaking with two members of the Black Lives Matter Committee here in the town of Crested Butte. Jeannie Turner and Chloe Bowman are standing by. I have one final question for both of our guests tonight, and this is calling back to, I don't know, sometime around like 100 years ago, actually early March. I was shocked to learn that this actually occurred in early March, but listeners may recall right before Super Tuesday elections in Grand Junction, they discovered about 500 ballots from the previous year's election that were still sitting in collection boxes. To both of our guests this evening, first to Diane, I'll have you answer it first. How did you react to hearing that story, and how can something like that have occurred?
Well, first, you react with it with absolute horror. But please know that I can't speak of any other election official of how what actually happened, because it didn't happen in our county and I wasn't there. What I would guess happened with that was they just forgot to empty a ballot box. I mean, you just passed it up. They probably have done it several times throughout the day. And maybe when the polls closed at 7, they didn't go to that box, and they just, I don't know the answer to that, because I wasn't there. And like I said, I wouldn't want somebody speaking about something that we did without knowing the facts on it. And I don't know what happened in Mesa County, but I do know that the Secretary of State was involved in that. And I don't know that those things are not taken lightly. And so that's probably the best that I can answer that. When you hear something about that, you do look at your procedures and your protocol on how you handle things, and you just, you know, give it another go around that this could never happen here. But, you know, it is humans handling these things. And so we do the best that we can with that.
And Kathy Samillion, did you want to add to that at all? How did you react when you first heard that story?
Yeah, you know, I remember when that that came out, in Diane and I, you know, just kind of reacted to each other. And I concur with Diane, you know, that I'm not going to second guess somebody else's processes when I don't know what they did. But the one thing that I know is in Gunnison County, we take great pride in our elections, and we have processes to make sure that those boxes are emptied, and that when they are emptied at 7 o'clock p.m., those boxes are then sealed, so nothing can be put in those boxes and they're locked. So we just kind of start at the north end, and we have processes in place so that at 7 o'clock and not a minute before or a minute after, those boxes are sealed and the ballots are brought down. So, I mean, I just, you know, it would be like your worst nightmare. And yeah, it's hard to even react to something like that, because I know that, you know, all the county clerks across the state take this all very seriously. And it was an unfortunate situation that, you know, you don't ever want to have it happen to you. So.
Sure. Thank you, Kathy Semillion and Diane Followell. Kathy is the Gunnison County Clerk and Recorder. Diane is the Director of Elections. Thank you both so much for joining us on Community Matters this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We've enjoyed this.
All right.
Good luck, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.